Okay, Chevra. So we've been discussing the halachos of ein bishul achar bishul. If an item is already cooked, so re-cooking it is halachically permitted. The question that comes up is, what about bishul achar afiya, bishul achar tzli, etc.? So let's just define terms. Bishul means cooking. What's cooking? Hey, this is a hard question for guys. What's cooking? So cooking means that you take food and you put it in a pot of water. That's the definition of cooking. Tzli means that you roast something on an open fire. Afiya means that you bake something, which means it is not directly touching the fire. It is in an oven. Those are the three terms that we have in this conversation. Bishul, afiya, and tzli. Now, there is a fourth way of cooking, halachically, and that is called tigun, which is frying. No? Frying means that you have a frying pan, and you put some oil in it, a little bit of oil, let's say, and that is halachically frying. If you deep fry stuff, which means like you go to Golan and everything there is made in this, basically in Golan they don't have any pots, no? They just throw everything into a deep fryer and it's geschmack. So deep frying is halachically the same as cooking, because there's no difference halachically if I cook in water or I cook in hot oil. The question about regular frying is an issue that comes up in the Gemara, and that issue is not fully discussed in our conversation. That issue of regular frying doesn't seem to make it. There's a discussion, the Prima Gadim, Mishpatzai Zahav, Sifkat and Zayin, etc., but we're not really talking about frying. The three terms we're talking about are baking, roasting, and cooking. So what's the halacha? Can I cook something that was roasted? Can I roast something that was cooked? How does baking, etc., fit in? So the background over here is the Yireim. The Yireim is Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz. Metz is a town in Germany. The Yireim is one of the major students of the Rabbeinu Tam. He was born in 1140, and he had a yeshiva in the town of Metz. In Rav Rimon Sefer, he gives like a little bit of background about people. The Yireim had an unfortunate life in that he lost all of his kids. They all died. And he writes at the end of his Sefer, I'm writing this like with tremendous bitterness. That's the Yireim, not so simple. So the Yireim develops an idea. It's found in the Sefer Yireim over here. This one is on page Kuf Lamed Dalet Amid Beis. The Yireim writes that even though there's ein bishul achar bishul, but there is bishul achar tzli, and there is tzli achar bishul. There's roasting after cooking and cooking after roasting. And his raya is from a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim discusses Karban Pesach. Remember, Karban Pesach, the Torah says, Ki'im Tzli Eish, that you have to roast the Karban Pesach on a direct fire. What about Tzla'o Achar Bishlo? Or Bishlo Achar Kach Tzla'o? So the Gemara says that this depends on the Machlokas HaTanoim, a Machlokas between Reb Meir and the Tana Reb Yossi, which is not about Karban Pesach, but it's about matzah. Let's go slowly. Matzah has to be baked. Let's say you take baked matzah, and then you put it in hot water. Right? So that is cooking after baking. So the Tana Reb Meir says, you fulfill your mitzvah. The Tana Reb Yossi says, you don't fulfill your mitzvah of matzah. Says the Yireim, since it's abundantly clear that we paskin like Reb Yossi because it's clear in the Gemara, blah, 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 blah. So therefore, that tells me that cooking undoes baking. And if cooking undoes baking, and the Gemara compares it to roasting and cooking by Karban Pesach, that means that in both these processes, you undo the other one. And therefore, says the Yireim, Hu Hadin on Shabbos. cooking undoes baking, baking undoes cooking, and therefore, cooked food can't be baked. Baked food can't be cooked, same with roasted, and therefore the Iranian writes, that, and this is the complicated part, the Iranian writes, well, since we forbid putting everything in a cliché-ni, right, the Iranian is like the super-duper machmir, dude, right? He says you can't put anything in a cliché-ni because we don't know what are considered the kalei habishul, what are considered the items that cook even in a cliché-ni. So the Iranian writes, therefore you should not put pot, you should not put bread in cliché-ni of liquid. So don't take your challah and put it in your bowl of chicken soup. And the Iranian writes, and if you do this, choshashni bo michiyov skila. Dems fighting words. Right? If you want to die, right? So what you should do is put your challah in your chicken soup. Now again, it might not be relevant for us because our chicken soup, since we use the ladle, it might be a klishlishi, but let's assume it's only a klisheni. The Iranian says, if you do it, you're chayiv a carbon chatos, potentially, even in a klisheni. Now, that is the way the Iranian appears in the old versions of the Iranian. In the old versions of the Yireim, he writes, Yizahir Adam Shalai Yitim Pas Afilu B'Klisheni. But in the newer editions of the Yireim, there was an old edition of the Yireim, which is really a kitzer of the Yireim. It had the commentary called Savivli Re'ov around it. You can get it in the library. We don't have it in the Beis Medrash. So that commentary says, you should not put it Afilu B'Klisheni. But in the new edition of the Yireim, which came out like 150 years ago, so in the new edition of the Yireim, it says, you should put it Ella the Klisheni, meaning it's mutter to put the bread in the Klisheni. Okay, so there are two versions of the Yireim, right? Is it usser to put the bread in the Klisheni? That is the way the old Yireim says it. Or is it mutter to put it in the Klisheni? That's the way the new Yireim says it. Yeah, Baruch?
Does he still have a language about being chayiv skila slash
karmachatos? He still says the line of chayiv skila karmachatos, but that might mean only in the Klivi Shona, according to other version. Yeah.
According to his own shita about Kalei Abishol, why would it be okay in a Klisheni?
Yeah, so apparently he's not going to combine both chumras. Right, even though he's choshish that everything is kalei habishol, but he won't put that together with sli, achar, bishol, etc. That's the Yireim. Now, this comment about the two versions of the Yireim is noted in the commentary in the Yireim in the Toafos Re'im, footnote 50. That's what I give you on the Amare Makomos. Now, the Yireim had a Talmud. His Talmud was named the Ravya. The Rav Yeh, right, by the way, it's important, Talmidim can disagree with their Rebbe. That's the Yesod over here. And the Rav Yeh disagrees with his Rebbe, disagrees with the Yireim. And the Rav Yeh says, you know what, there is no such thing as Bishol Achar Afiyah, Afiyah Achar Bishol. Once an item is cooked, it's cooked. It doesn't matter if I'm cooking it with dry heat, I'm cooking it on a direct fire. Cooked is cooked. That's what the Rav Yeh says. I, the Iranian, brought a raya from matzah, right? We paskin like the Tan Reb Yaisi that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah if you cook your matzah after. So the Rav Yeh says, yeah, yeah, hey, dude, you got to read the Gemara. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Lamed Ches says the reason for that is because bi'inon tam matzah. There's a special halacha that you have to taste your matzah, no? The Gemara says, if I just swallow matzah without chewing it, I don't get the mitzvah. Right, you need tam matzah. Many of the Rishonim understand that once I cook the matzah, it becomes like matzah ashira. Now, just like I can't make matzah with grape juice or apple juice, etc. So if I cook my matzah in water, it becomes matzah ashira. That's why Taisus in Brachas Lamed Ches understands it. Now, what that means, says the Rav Yeh, is that there is zero raya from the din of matzah to the din of bishul b'shabbos. Ad kan devarav. Now, how does the Urayim learn that Gemara? Right? The Urayim L'Chaora had the Gemara that says, the reason I can't cook my matzah is because it's tam matzah. So the Urayim probably learns the Pshat is Hazoi. You know why it doesn't have tam matzah? It doesn't have tam matzah because it's no longer the Cheftza of matzah. You see, if I eat asparagus, it doesn't have tam matzah, right? Because it's not matzah. The Urayim is going to learn that Gemara when the Gemara says that it doesn't have tam matzah because once you cook it, it's ice matzah. Right? It's really not positive. Again, if you look in Rabbi Willig's book, page 37, right? Rabbi Willig makes this point that that's a potential defense of the Sefer Urayim. Okay. Now, the issue is, and let's just go slowly, how does Shulchan Aruch paskin? Right, let's talk about the Mechaber first. So in Shin Yud Ches Se'if Hey, Mechaber writes, Yesh Misha Omer, D'Dover She'ne'ef O'nitzla, Im Bishlo Achar Kach B'mashke, Yesh Bo Mishon Bishlo, V'Ozer Li Tein Pas, Afilo B'Kli She'ni, Shayad Zayla Despoy, V'Yesh Matirim. Right? In other words, the Mechaber says that there are some who say that a baked thing, if you cook it afterwards, there is bishul. And therefore, don't put your bread in a kli sheni. V'yesh matirin. But there are those who permit it. Now, there are two ways of learning this word in the Mechaber, yesh matirin. By the way, Chacham Ovadia has an interesting point. He says, since the Mechaber begins, Yesh Misha Omer, which is Lashon Yachid, then he finishes, Yesh Matirin, that means clearly we follow the second opinion over here, because it's Rabim against the Yachid. And Chacham Avad Yisrael into Klalei Hapsak. In fact, his son, the current chief rabbi, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, has that book, Ein Yitzchak, the three volumes about Klalei Hapsak. This is already a nice wrinkle. Yesh Matirin, that the Rabbim holds it's mutter, but why is it mutter? And what's mutter? There are two ways of learning it. It could be that the Mechaber is saying, Yesh Matirin, that I'm allowed to put my bread in a kli sheni, which would be like the version of the Urayim that we have. That's the way the Taz learns it in Sifkat and Zayin. That's the way the Mishnah Brura learns it. Meaning the Mechaber also holds that there is Bishul Achar Afia, Yesh Matirin in a Kli Sheni. However, the Be'er HaGoyla, the Be'er Gola was the Zeda of the Gruh, no? The Be'er HaGoyla writes, Yesh Matirin, he writes, the Mordechai B'Shem Ravya. Meaning, according to the Be'er HaGoyla, we say that the Mechaber's Yesh Matirin, which again is the Shita that we paskin like, holds like the Rav Yah, that there is no such thing as Bishol Achar Afiyah Nachi Afiyah Achar Bishol. As a category, it is totally non-existent. Yesh Matirin. Okay? Yeah. Now, the Ramah writes that there are some who are makel even the Kli Rishon. In other words, the Ramah is quoting the Rav Yah, but nahagu lizayir lechatchila not to put pas afil b'kli sheni if it's yad seila. Despite the Ramah says that lechatchila we should hold not to put bread even in the kli sheni, but the fact that he says it lechatchila would indicate that, let's say you have an adam chola, let's say you have a sick person who can't eat bread, no? Because bread could be hard. So you're allowed to put in a kli sheni. In other words, we're going to hold that lechatchila v'choshish for the Urayim, but we're not going to say it's really a chi of skila or chatas. For an adam chula, it's going to be permitted. That's what emerges according to the Ramah. So that's just chazer. The Mechaber, we have two versions of the Mechaber, two ways of understanding the Mechaber. Does the Mechaber say that really we hold like the Rav Yah? Or does the Mechaber say that, no, we don't hold like the Rav Yah, and the Yesh Matirin is only in a Kli Sheni? Chacham Ovadia, as we know, is super duper mekel man. So Chacham Ovadia paskins that you're allowed, that the Mechaber holds like the Rav Yah, and therefore baked food you could put in a, you could put baked food in a pot, right? Even in the Kli Rishon, we hold like the Rav Yah, it's Gevaldik, that's Chacham Ovadia. In Rav Rimon's Sefer, he points out that the other Sfardish poskim, Rebbe Tzio Abba Shaul and the Ben Ishchai, disagree. Okay, Zolzayim. Now, we have a problem. The problem is, Azoy, Shulchan Aruch seems to contradict himself. If you turn to Shulchan Aruch, Se'if Tes Vav, it says, Dovar shen espashal kol tzarkai, if I have fully cooked food and it's dry, I'm allowed to put it neged hamedura b'makom shehayad zol ledesbo. I'm allowed to put that food neged hamedura near the fire, in the place that it is yad zol ledes. Bir halacha jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels. He says, one second, you have cooked food, and you're putting the cooked food near a fire. Putting it near a fire means that now I'm cooking it with dry heat. We call that baking. That would mean I'm taking my cooked food and I'm baking it. But didn't we just say that afia achar bishul is usher? Right? We just said afia achar bishul is usher. So how can the Bir Halacha asks Akasha, quotes in the base mayor, how can we say that you're allowed to put it Eitzel Hamadura? That's the Bir Halacha's Kasha. Chacham Ovadia says, there's no Kasha. Because in Se'if Hey, yes, the Mechaber quotes two opinions. But the Yesh Matirin holds like the Rav Yah, that there is no Afiyah Achar Bishul. So it's Heter Gomor. That's what Chacham Ovadia will answer this kasha. But most people don't assume like Chacham Ovadia. The classical poskim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Taz, they say that the Yesh Matirin is only in the Kli Sheni. So how come the Mechaber permits putting the cooked food near the fire? So there are five answers to this Mahalach. Five answers, and we'll try to go through them, and hopefully we'll remember at least one of them. All is done. Okay, so it goes like this. Answer number one is a powerful diuk in the Mechaber. This is a diuk of the Minchas Kohen that's quoted in the Shvisas HaShabbos Sifkat and Peites. Remember, the Yireyim says that there is Bishol Achar Afiyah and Afiyah Achar Bishol. There's Bishol Achar Tzli and Tzli Achar Bishol. Both ways. But read the Mechaber. Yesh Misha Omer, that if it's baked, if you cook it, it's Aser. That Bishol Achar Afiyah is Aser. But the Mechaber never said Afiyah Achar Bishol is Aser. Wow. And the Mechaber never said Afiyah Achar Bishol is Aser. He only says Bishol Achar Afiyah. In other words, says the Minchas Kohen. And Rabbi Willig in his Sefer, I don't know why he doesn't point out that this is Mamash Meduyak in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Willig in his Sefer says, oh, the Shulte Gibayrim says this. It's Mamash Meduyak in the Shulchan Aruch. And Shulchan Aruch only says that Bishol Achar Afiyah is Aser. It doesn't say Afiyah Achar Bishol. Therefore, if I have cooked food, I'm allowed to put it next to the fire, because that would be the equivalent of Afiyah Achar Bishol. Now, what's the rationale for this? Remember, the Yireyim says that Ein Svara L'Chalei. The Yireyim wrote Pefeirish on that page that Svara Achasi. Excuse me. It's all the same Svara. So that's the rationale behind it. So Rabbi Willig develops a very brisker, formulaic idea. In Yerideya, sometimes food becomes usser bekulay. Sometimes it becomes usser kedei klipa. No? For example, let's say I take a piece of meat and I cook the meat in milk. I take a piece of meat and I cook the meat in chazer schmelz. So that meat is thoroughly usher through and through, right? The ganze geschäft, the whole thing is usher. However, let's say there is sli. For example, I take a hot hamburger and I connect it, right, to a hot piece of cheese. That sli or afia, it's not being cooked in liquid, no? So there's a whole discussion at the beginning of Simon Pei Zion about whether it becomes usser or not in those cases. But even if it becomes usser, it's only going to be usser today klipa. If it's normal food, again, not particularly fatty, fatty food is going to be usser bekulay. That's what it says in Sadi Aleph. But if it's not fatty food, it's only going to be usser kedei klipa. That means that afia and sli don't make something usser to the extent that it's usser through and through. Afia and sli make it usser only kedei klipa. Therefore, says Rabbi Willig, if I do bishul achar afia or bishul achar sli, so what I am doing is I'm making it more usser. Because bishul goes bekulay. Afia or tzli only goes kedei klipa. So therefore when I cook it in water after I baked it in dry heat, so that's going to be usser bekulay. That's a halachic improvement. Therefore it's usser. But in the case of se'if tesvav, where I have cooked food, the food was already cooked in water. So food that's cooked in water already is usser bekulay. Water makes it fully permeated. Again, obviously we're not talking about being usser, we're talking about Shabbos. But the idea is that cooking, since I see from Yerideya, that cooking in water makes something usser bekulo, so that shows that that is the maximum of cooking, the maximum of impacting on the meat. So memela, if I do tzli or afia afterwards, it doesn't become usher. That's a second mahalach. Okay? So again, we have a stira between se'if tesvav that says I'm allowed to put cooked food next to a fire. Sif hey that we paskin, that to some extent there is bishul achar afia, afia achar bishul. So, answer one is no, we really pass like the Rav Yah. Or the Mechaber really pass like the Rav Yah. Answer two is that in Sif Hei, we never say it both ways. We only say there's Bishul Achar Afiyah. We never say there is Afiyah Achar Bishul. That's answer number two. Answer number three. Answer number three is that I only say that there's bishul achar afia or afia achar bishul if there's real improvement in the food. Improvement in the sense of it adds some flavor. If I have a cooked chicken and then I roast it, the roasting changes the flavor of the cooked chicken. So that's going to be a problem. Cooking changes the flavor of something that was roasted. So that's going to be a problem. However, in Se'if Tesvav, I'm taking cooked food and I'm putting it next to a fire to warm it up. It doesn't contribute any flavor whatsoever, no? The food just went from cold to warm. It's not contributing any flavor. Since it's not contributing any flavor, so there's no bishul achar afia, or no afia achar bishul. Because this approach is saying that the rationale of the Yerayim, who says that there is a din of bishul achar afia, what the Yerayim means is that you're changing the taste. The flavor is improved. The Egloi Tal, by the way, has this idea. But if I have the same thing and it happens again, or I don't improve the flavor at all, so b'kahai gavna can't be usher. In fact, in the Egloi Tal of Sifkatan Yud Ches, he compares this to the rule of ksav agabe ksav. It's like a razzle-dazzle comparison. But ksav agabe ksav means if I write something and then I write again on top of it, right? I have black ink and I do the Zelber Zach Nochamol. The same thing a second time. So ksav agav ksav might not be ksav. Le'inyin gittin. Le'inyin Shabbos. Min ha-toyra. Etc. If I do the same thing again, I just make it, the food becomes warmer. It doesn't add any flavor. So in that situation, it's going to be heter gomor. So unlike Mahalach 1, where we're seeing a halachic distinction between cooking and frying, or I should say cooking and roasting, approach 2 is not giving me halacha. Approach 2 is giving me flavor, taste. Yes, sir.
I don't understand. We established that this is a case where the place that he's putting the cooked items is being baked, quote, is Yaz Lezbo. So I can't say just being warmed up, right?
It is.
But Yaz Lezbo is by definition changing.
So Yaz Lezbo doesn't necessarily, again, if I have food that's fully cooked and then it cooled off, so what's happening over here? Mitzias. Does the food taste any different than it tasted 2 hours ago? No, it doesn't taste any different. The Matthias is exactly the same. Therefore, it's like I'm doing the same thing again, Heter Gummer. Wow. What? Don't make any. No. Fine, next. The Chazanish basically says the same type of idea. And again, there's slight wrinkles. In Rav Rimon's Sefer on page 287, he quotes that the Chazanish is slightly different than the Eglei Tal, but it ends up being the same thing. The Chazanish says that when you put the food near the fire, it's only miyabesh the food, it only dries it off, it's not really like cooking it. The Chazanish elsewhere says that maybe the case is that the food was cooked and you're putting it next to the fire, but you're really cooking it again, because he says what you're doing is what's called Sli Kedar. Sli Kedar is a pot roast. Pot roast means that you cook meat in its own juice. So maybe the first time the meat was cooked in liquid. The second time I'm cooking the meat in its own juice. In both situations it's cooking. That's what the Chazanish says. So that's the answer to the contradiction between Sif Tesvav and Sif Hey. In the Shavisas HaShabbos, for some reason, this next answer that I'm giving is not found in Rav Rimon's Sefer. In the Shavisas HaShabbos in Sivkat and Peites, he says, you know what? We already learned the Taz yesterday. The Taz says sometimes you could have something that the location itself is Yad Soledes, but the food won't become Yad Soledes in that location. Remember this? Right? If, let's say, the area, if Yad Soledes is 113, so if the area itself is 115, it's not going to heat food to be 113. So maybe that's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch, if Tezvav is saying, I'm taking cooked food, and I'm putting the cooked food in an area, that the area is Yad Soledes, but the food doesn't become Yad Soledes. That is the next Mahalach. Now, what are the nafkaminas between these Mahalachim? So question, am I allowed to toast bread on Shabbos? Bread is baked. Can I take my bread and put it near a real heat source that the bread will become toast? Right? Anyone know how to make toast? This is one of the few things I can mamish make. No, I'm very good at it. Right. You take a lighter. No. The way you make toast is you put the bread near the fire and then the bread gets harder. And that's basically what toast is. Toast is hardened bread. It's hardened by the heat source. Am I allowed to make toast on Shabbos? Now, there are a few things to be said. One, the Shoal Meshev, the Shoal Meshev of Yosef Shoal Nathanson. He was the Rav of Lvov in the 19th century. The Shoal Meshev says that maybe it's going to be usher, because in the Rambam's definition of cooking, in Parak Tes, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes that if I take something soft and I make it hard, or I take something hard and I make it soft, That's called Bishul. Remember this?
Wasn't that only by non-food items?
Ah! So the refutation of the Sholom Eishiv is that that Rambam is only about non-food items.
Right, the Rambam is to say I can't leave ice out on Shabbos.
Again, like, it means Aryadei, a real heat source. Room temperature is not a real heat source. But the Sholom Eishiv basically says that maybe the definition of cooking is whenever you make something hard from soft. And if that's the case, making toast on Shabbos is usher because the bread goes from soft bread to hard bread. Right? One of the great curses in Yiddish is that you should have hard butter and soft bread. No? Because it mamish. Okay, whatever. It's a Yiddish curse. But the point is, that's the Sho'el Umesh's answer. And the refutation is what Jake is saying, that no, that maybe that definition of Bishul is only on non-food items.
Is the reverse also true, that if I go from
hard to soft also? Let's say I take a piece of metal, the Rambam says, and I cook it. So it goes from hard to soft. That's also considered cooking. Soft to hard, or hard to soft. Now, what's the halacha? Can I make toast on Shabbos? So there's a big discussion in Rav Rimon's Sefer, footnotes 95 and 100. Basically, the Achrenim are divided on this question. And some of the Achronim say a Svara very similar to what we said before. The rationale of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is because I'm not making any change. It doesn't taste any different after. When the Yireyim says that there's Afiyah Achar Bishul or Bishul Achar Afiyah, so we presented the Svara of the Eglei Tal. That's because I'm doing the same thing again, and there's no real change. Im kainim hadavarim oy bazoi. So then when I make toast out of bread, there is a real change, no? Toast tastes different than bread. If that's the case, it should be usser. Meaning, if I take the practical approach, it should be usser. But if I take the formal approach, so then I have to question. I have to question it. If I take the formal approach, I could say, listen, the Maisa, I did a Maisa Afiyah already. I can't be chayav for a second Maisa Afiyah. Remember, the way Rabbi Willig set it up is that Mahalach number one is like formal, right? That Afiyah only goes Kedei Klipa. Bishul goes Bekulai. If I take that approach, so even though the food tastes different, acharei kechlos hakol, it's toast, it's not bread, but the fact that it tastes different is because I'm doing the same halachic process again, and I don't care if it tastes different. All I care about is formally, is it the same maisa that I did previously, or is it not the same maisa that I did previously? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Perek Aleph Halacha Samach Beis is machmir, that you're not allowed to make toast. Chacham Avadi Yosef, who we now know is the biggest maker in all of Judaism. Chelek Yom of Yechavada, Simin Chuf Beis, I give you the Mar Makom on the Mar Makomis. So Chacham Avadi is maker, that you're allowed to toast bread on Shabbos. Again, this is the dinim of Bishul Achar Tzli, Tzli Achar Bishul. Let's give another nafkim.
Does this challah come up when you heat up challah?
Yes, if I have a baked challah to heat it up on top of my challah pot, is not 1,000,000% pashat that it's mutter, because l'cha'ira, what? The challah is... So, is the challah becoming like toast? Is there a noticeable change in it? Or does it just become warmer? If it just becomes warmer, it's like Shulchan Aruch Sif Tesvav, that it's mutter for sure. But if it becomes harder, right, so then it's totally in this machlokes that Rav Shlomo Zalman would say making toast is usher, and the and Chacham Avadya says it's mutter.
Yeah.
Chayra, again, if it really becomes like toasted, if it makes a real change, and I take the Metzius approach to Judaism, it would be a problem. Yeah.
Our challah becomes softer when you cook it, when you do it that second time on.
It becomes softer. It just becomes hotter. It was soft. I don't know if it becomes softer. I think it's just because since it's heated, the molecules are spread a little bit farther, so it's easier to... Is that really called getting softer? Maybe. I hear. So therefore, it should be usher to put the chal on top of the shalom pan.
Yeah, we do it.
Maybe not anymore. Yeah.
So according to the Matthias approach, it wouldn't make a difference if it was Yadso Ledesko, right? It's getting harder.
If it's not Yadso Ledesko, so there's nothing to talk about. No, you're saying that if you put the chal on top of your chalon pot and it doesn't become Yadso Ledesko.
Right, but it still might get a little bit toasted with it.
So that doesn't matter. Right? You know, the only time I could have any concern is when it becomes Yadso Ledesko. Yeah. Now, what about baking after something is roasted, or roasting after something was baked? Right? Remember, we spoke about cooking after roasting, cooking after baking, right? And the reverse. What about baking and roasting? How do they play a role? So again, if I take the formal approach, the approach that says that halachically you can't do the same thing twice, so roasting and baking are halachically the same. They only aser kadei klipa yerideya. But if I take the metzias approach, since there's a different flavor that's added, so then it's going to be aser. The Magen Avraham says that sli achar afia is mutter. Magen Avraham in Sif Katan Yud Zayin says sli achar afia is mutter. Prima Godim and Mishpatzai Zahav Sifkat and Zayin. The Prima Godim says, whoa, it's not mutter, it's usher. Again, it's Toloi Lacha'ora in the same question as to whether I'm making, whether it's a Mitzias change or Lachik change. Salach Alamaisa. Am I allowed to put a cookie in a cup of coffee on Shabbos if it's a cliche-ni? So, Ashken Svaradim should be makel on this, no? Lekuliyama, whether I learn like the Ben Ishchai, I learn like Chacham Ovadia, the Sfaradi should be makel to put a big thing in the klisheni of coffee. Ashkenazim should be machmi lechatchila, not to do it. Right, for a chayle, you could do it. You can put a... Right, now again, that's very relevant because the pashtus is you're allowed to make coffee, you're allowed to make instant coffee with a klisheni. Instant coffee was cooked beforehand. To cook something a second time in a cliche is mutter, no? There are different types of instant coffee. The Starbucks Via was never cooked. Starbucks Via, all they're doing is they take the coffee beans and they grind it up very finely, like super finely ground. It was never cooked. Folger's instant coffee was cooked, no? If it was cooked already, you're allowed to make it in a cliche. Because that's going to be in Bishal Achar Bishal. But if I made it in a klisheni, then I can't put my cracker inside the coffee. Because I'm worried about Bishal Achar Afia, even in a klisheni, if I'm an Ashkenazi. And I don't think there's any real tzorech to have your cracker with the cookie. No? What about croutons and soup? There are different types of croutons on this planet. The Osem yellow croutons are, they say, deep fried. Deep fried means it's cooked. So then for sure I'm allowed to put it in my chicken soup, no? Because it's bishol achar bishol. In a klisheni, or chalapapos. Our chicken soup might even be a klishlishi like we spoke about because of the ladle. There are certain types of croutons, however, which are baked, not cooked. Apparently, homemade croutons, in most cases, are that you take stale bread and you cut it up, and then you bake it. It was never cooked. If it was baked, then I'm not allowed to put it in my soup that's a klisheni, no? Again, if it's a klishlishi, we have the machlokes chazanish and remoisha about whether the category of klishlishi is a mitigating factor or not. Yes, Jake?
Would we be mitzaref at least one side of that machlokas with in with that luchatchila? We say even like the ikar din is really that even.
So again, the ikar hadin is like the rav yah luchatchila. But again, I don't know if croutons are so necessary. I could have a very fine Shabbos meal without croutons.
No, but I'm saying because not me then it's klishlishi. can be with Starif, it's out of the
Kishlishim. Yeah. And the Chazon Ish himself says that. The Chazon Ish writes, even though I assume that there's no distinction between Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi, but nonetheless, the Chazon Ish writes that I'll be meiko on putting bread in the Kli Shlishi. The Chazon Ish says, fundamentally, I hold that the list of Kali HaBishol is very limited. Right? That's what we spoke about, Machlekes Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish. Yeah, so that's basically Judaism in a nutshell. I think we covered everything there is in Kol HaTorah Kula, and now we're ready to make a siyum on Kol HaTorah Kula this afternoon. Okay, Chavra, have a good day.